You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. Today's episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Enjoyment isn't the end game, it's the whole game. At only 2.6 and 95 calories, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. Happy Friday, everybody. Happy weekend. Today is a special episode. It's a bit of a crossover, I guess more accurately a roundtable with myself and the hosts of Locked On Twins and Locked On Wild. So if you're a Minnesota sports fan, this is a great episode. A little bit of commiseration, not too much, more just kind of, you know, what's the status of those three franchises in the Twin Cities? If you're at all a Minnesota sports fans, it's a can't miss episode. I'll play part two on Monday as well. We're going to expand the conversation and talk to Locked On Vikings hosts as well. This will be something we do this summer. It's kind of a weird place in Minnesota sports. So if you're at all a Twin Cities sports fan or maybe aren't, but want to know what's going on with the other teams in the city and just curious about the symmetry, because there is a lot of symmetry between the Timberwolves and I guess, unfortunately, the Twins and the Wild in a lot of ways. So first, I want to hit a couple quick things off the top, then we'll get into that. So it'll be a good show today. And then again, part two on Monday. A reminder that you can follow this show anywhere you listen to podcasts. That, of course, includes Apple, Google, Spotify, and the all-new Odyssey app. That's Odyssey, A-U-D-A-C-Y. You can also follow this show on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at B Beacon. That's two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. All right, quickly, the road to the finals, I guess we're in the conference finals, but the road to the finals is brought to us this year by Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it at 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. We can all enjoy the games a little bit more this season. So quickly, the action on Thursday night was game three of Phoenix and L.A., the Clippers, of course, in the Western Conference Finals. Phoenix had a 2-0 lead. They had won nine playoff games in a row. Coming into this one, they were going on the road to Staples Center. The Clippers, for their part, had come back from 2-0 deficits in each of the first two rounds, and they started on their way back on the comeback trail on Thursday night. They beat the Phoenix Suns by a score of 106-92. This was a game that Phoenix actually led at halftime, I think by one possession, but the Clippers had a big third quarter, and the Suns actually, in a way, looked a little bit gassed towards the end of the game. And Devin Booker, Chris Paul, nobody was really efficient. Each of them made five field goals. They combined to shoot 10 of 40 from the field. Paul and Booker combined 25% from the field. And they were led in scoring by DeAndre Ayton, had 18. Nobody else had more than 18 for the Suns. The Clippers, for their part, also notably, Chris Paul, of course, returned after missing the first two games due to health and safety protocols, had 15 and 12 in his return, but didn't shoot the ball well and looked rusty. Kawhi's still not back, of course, for the Clippers. They were led by Paul George, was great after struggling at the end of, well, really overall at the free throw line, especially in game two. He had 27 and 15, 8 assists. Ivica Zubac had 15 and 16 in this game, only shot the ball 8 times from the field, but he had 15 points, 16 rebounds, and the Clippers got a solid all-around performance. Reggie Jackson was good, and they ended up with a 14-point victory, and of course, the all-important game four is upcoming now in that series. And then also on Friday night, we'll have Atlanta and Milwaukee game two. The Hawks, of course, are up 1-0 in that series. That series is over on TNT, tips at 7:30 Central on Friday night. So we'll talk about what happens over the weekend in both conference finals on Monday's show. The other Timberwolves related note, I talked a little bit the other day about how Anthony Edwards and Naz Reid are both going to be playing for the Team USA Select team, which will be training against the Team USA Tokyo team here upcoming. So that's happening. I also checked the Las Vegas Summer League dates are actually in August this year. So theoretically, one or both of them could play both in the select camp in July and also the summer league in August. Although I'd be a little surprised actually if Edwards or Naz Reid participated. Reid's now 2 years into his NBA career. Edwards was so good at the end of the year. I'd be a little surprised if he played in Vegas now that we know he's doing the select camp as well. But we'll keep our eyes on that. And that's basically it. The other, I guess, NBA big league-wide news, Rick Carlisle's hired in Indiana, of course, after he parted ways with the Dallas Mavericks. He was obviously the Pacers coach way back. Malice at the Palace era was the coach in Indiana. There's also the bit of news that Jason Kidd is apparently a front runner for the Dallas Mavericks job. Not much else to say on that yet. Obviously, his first couple of head coaching stints have not been successful. There's several reasons why that would be an interesting choice to put Jason Kidd at the helm in Dallas. But more on that as it potentially happens. But I want to get into the Locked On Minnesota, I guess we'll call it, roundtable with myself and the host of Locked On Twins and Locked On Wild. This is part one of our conversation. Nash Walker of Locked On Twins hosted it. So here we go. We'll go ahead and get into the conversation I had with Locked On Twins and Locked On Wild.
And welcome to a Locked On Minnesota Sports crossover. It's Ben Beacon, Locked On Timberwolves, Seth Topol, Locked On Minnesota Wild. I'm Nash Walker, Locked On Minnesota Twins. Fellas are gathering tonight. Usually it's like we would gather in this environment to like sulk about something. I would say the latest thing that we would talk about is the Wolves losing their pick last night. But Ben, what was your reaction to that? We'll start with that tonight, the Wolves losing their pick. There's ups and downs all around this show tonight, I feel like, for our club. So we'll get to it. But Ben is the latest. Ben, what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it was the expected outcome. The Timberwolves had a 27.6% chance at landing a top three pick, a 72.4% chance that they lost the pick. Of course, that was part of the D'Angelo Russell, Andrew Wiggins swap last February in 2020. And the Wolves sent both their first and second round pick to Golden State. This one was top three protected. So if it fell outside the top three, it conveyed to Golden State. It did. It landed at number seven. So, and there wasn't the, if it had been in that limbo of they went to commercial during the lottery and came back with the top four. So I was a little nervous that it would end up in limbo. We'd have to wait for the commercial break and then we'd find out it's fourth and they lose it anyway. So the fact that it fell to seven and they lost it, I guess, wasn't the worst case scenario. But so yeah, no draft pick for the Wolves this year. Any other year, I would have complained about it. But I mean, after actually moving up for the first time in franchise history last year and getting Anthony Edwards, it's tough to get too upset about it. But I guess that puts the bow on at least all the assets from the D'Lo Andrew Wiggins swap last year.
Tope's wild elimination again in the first round. It feels like it's a trend for all of us. If they do make it there, for the Twins, certainly in the Wild recently as well. But what a year. I think it was a really fun year for the Wild. It reminded me in a lot of ways of the, I didn't follow them as closely, obviously, as like I followed the Twins, but reminded me a lot of the 2019 Twins, just like feeling that direction and the optimism in that direction. Would you say that's true, Seth?
I would agree. It was a classic case of a team that coming into the season, we didn't really have a whole lot of expectations for. It was supposed to be kind of a rebuild on the fly type year. We were going to see what we had with a lot of players on this team. And Bill Guerin just pushed the right buttons. Some players got hot, and the goaltending was outstanding pretty much all season. Now, did it help playing basically the entire schedule against the West Division, which featured four of the worst teams in the NHL? Yes. But at the same time, they held their own against Vegas and Colorado and St. Louis, and unfortunately, they had some bad bounces in that series against the Golden Knights, but you look now at this being like the season that they were expected to be serious contenders. They're going to make some moves, get some centers, get Jack Eichel up in here. It is very, very exciting time for Wild fans, unless you heard the news on Friday, which we're not going to talk about because it's a bluff.
Yeah.
Kaprizov's not going anywhere.
No, and I think I wanted to talk about this too. The Twins are in the middle of a really bad year. I mean, a year in which they're expected to be good. And they're playing better ball of late. Five of the last six they've won, but it still feels like a lost season. And we're all used to those. I mean, we've seen those before. And usually what you look at is those rookies, right? The rookies who have emerged. Let's start with Anthony Edwards, Ben. What did you see from him in his rookie season? I know there were a lot of doubters at the time. I watched him at Mizzou because he came and played played Mizzou when he was playing for Georgia, and just athletic freak, like unbelievable. I know there were questions about like his shooting and other things, but what were your first impressions in his first year?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, if anybody listened to Lockdown Wolves last year, I was actually on the LaMelo Ball train. I wanted them to draft Ball. I thought having two ball handlers in the backcourt, having two playmakers and him and D'Angelo Russell would make a lot of sense. And of course, LaMelo Ball won Rookie of the Year, but Anthony Edwards played about as well as I could have hoped for somebody who didn't win Rookie of the Year. And he actually, long-term, should be a really good fit with this team. I was really impressed with how, really, his improvement over the course of the season. That I think was the biggest thing. I mean, early on, he wasn't starting. When he played, he wasn't efficient. He had some of the defensive issues and long range shooting issues, shot selection problems that you alluded to that he showed at Georgia. But as the season went on, he had a 40 plus point game at Phoenix. Phoenix is still playing there in the conference finals, and he dominated that game. And down the stretch, once D'Angelo Russell came back healthy, playing with D'Lo and Karl-Anthony Towns, he continued to put up big numbers and his shooting improved. He got better as the season went on. And that, to me, I think he showed more growth throughout the season than any other rookie, including LaMelo Ball. And so the future is definitely bright. And I was pleasantly surprised with how well he played. And if he plays like he did in March, April, May of this season, then he is going to be a bona fide star in just a couple of years. And the Wolves might have a big three. I don't know how fast that continued, trajectories or that trajectory will continue, but he's definitely on the right path. And I was very happy with how he finished the season. Hey, before we talk more about exciting young talent and the excitement of rookies really in Minnesota sports, let's talk about betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season's in full swing. You can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device. Check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to and through the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, let's jump back into the conversation regarding young talent for the Minnesota sports teams, primarily the Timberwolves, the Wild, and the Minnesota Twins.
Yeah, and I say that there's nothing better than a really good rookie, because it's just so exciting to have a good rookie. And if Luke was here too, Lockdown Bikes would talk to us about Justin Jefferson. But what a class we were treated to. These last four seasons of rookies, and the Twins are seeing a couple now, probably not on the same level, but Alex Kirilloff and Trevor Larnach are excelling. And Seth, you might have seen the most electric one of the bunch in Kirill Kaprizov.
Yeah, I ran out of things to say about Kaprizov. So the season started in January. I ran out of things to say by about the fourth or fifth game of the year. You talk about a guy that just commanded presence on this team and commanded attention from opposing teams. He was ready to go the moment the puck dropped in his first game in the NHL. Had the OT winner in his second game against the LA Kings. I mean, he had hat tricks this season. He had one of the craziest sequences I've ever seen in a hockey game against the Vegas Golden Knights, where he scored the game-tying and game-winning goal in the span of about a minute and 10 seconds late in the season. It was just every little thing that he did, to the point that I, by the end of the year, was not surprised by anything that he did. He possesses elite speed, puck handling ability. He is making passes between the legs without looking to his teammates to where they're not ready for him, because, I mean, who is ready for that kind of a play when you're out on the ice? And for a team that has always been more veteran-heavy and has relied on good defense, kind of grit and grind out like a 2-1 win or a 3-2 win, to have a guy that can help push the offense for once, for the first time since Marian Gaborik, was amazingly refreshing. And the crazy thing is, and yes, I know he played over in the KHL for several seasons, so it's not like he's a traditional rookie, which, yes, he still is a rookie. All of those Calder truthers that don't think that he deserves to be in contention for the Calder Trophy. But he is just scratching the surface on what he's able to do, and he did most of it having Victor Rask as his center on his line, which is like basically carrying a boat anchor around with you on the ice, and he still led the team in goals, led the team in points. He's just getting started too, which is just, it's amazing, it's exciting, and it finally gives us that guy who can just command the attention of everybody he goes against.
My dad and I used to go to the X and go see Gabby, and I wore his little green old throwback Wild jersey, Gabbert 10, and like, there's nothing like it. You know, there's just nothing like having a star like that, 35, 40, 40 goal score every year. But I like the Wolves, and I've been to a lot of Wolves games, and like, I love the NBA. I just wonder, and I talk to my buddies about this too, I'm like, is there ever going to be a day, Ben, like, give me some hope where the Wolves will be in contention in the West? Because I get excited. Like, I was excited coming into this year, and I know they really did, like, the health was an issue, and I know they played better basketball down the stretch.
Yeah.
Like, what do they need to do to, like, even be a seventh or an eighth seed like they were with Jimmy Butler?
Honestly, I think, in the Jimmy Butler year, I don't need to tell you guys, if he was healthy, I mean, they would have probably been a 4 or 5 seed that year and likely advanced past the first round, I think. I think that next year, of course, we're going into the offseason. We'll see what the offseason looks like. I tend to think the Wolves won't do much at all this offseason. No cap space, no draft pick. They could pull off a massive trade. Everyone's talking about Ben Simmons now. It's possible. It's obviously not likely. If they do anything, it's either going to be nothing or something really big. I think as currently constructed, this is a team that's going to be in that conversation in the 6-9 spot in the Western Conference, because they were above 500 this year when D'Angelo Russell and Karl-Anthony Towns were healthy. And they've only played a handful of games together total. It's like 22 or something games over the last 2 years together. And they're slightly above 500 over that span. And Anthony Edwards, for the first part of that, wasn't Anthony Edwards this season. And so you get those three together, Malik Beasley, maybe they trade him, maybe he's back. Jaden McDaniels was the other rookie from last year. Something that the Wolves are now talking about, Gerson Rosas is talking about in the media, is Leandro Balmero was their third first round pick last year. He's playing overseas and is likely to come over this season. So he'll be their rookie and is a 20-year-old prospect coming over. And so there is some hope that next year they'll contend. Now, the Western Conference is stacked. I mean, who's falling out of the playoffs in the Western Conference? It's tough. I mean, Memphis is one of the other young teams in the league. They're not likely to get worse. So you start looking at that list of teams and it's like, well, shoot, you know, the Suns made a huge jump this year. Could the Wolves be that next team? I don't think they're going to make a Suns-like jump, but I do think they'll be competitive. They'll be above 500 and they'll be in the conversation for the playoffs. And if they're not next year, now you're talking about 2 years left on Towns' contract, 1 year left on D'Angelo Russell's contract, and probably blowing it up all over again. So I don't know that makes you feel any better, but I feel like next year is the year that they've got to show some progress, or else things are going to have to change once again.
I think Beasley's 20, 25 point per game guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's obviously that. D'Lo's obviously that.
Yeah.
Edwards looks like that. It's just, is mm-hmm. it the defense?
Yeah, it's primarily defense, and it's also making the parts all work together. I mean, obviously, if you've got four guys that can do that, it's who's going to be okay not doing that. You're not likely going to have four guys. You aren't going to have four guys scoring that much. And so I think Beasley's the odd man out. I think there's a solid chance he's traded because his contract all of a sudden looks like a pretty good value. And so there's a chance he's traded. If he's not, he's going to have to be the sixth man, and he's going to have to be okay with it. So that could be a little bit of an issue, but it's primarily defense. I mean, Jaden McDaniels, and he's really the only plus defender in their top six guys in the rotation. So they've got to find at least one more defender if they're going to improve on that end of the floor. But Towns took a step in the right direction last year on defense, and you look at some of these other teams that are still playing, Trae Young, Devin Booker on their respective teams. Neither of those guys played any defense before this year. Neither of them are good defenders, but they're at least trying on defense, and they're, you know, slightly below average defenders. And there's a big difference between that and atrocious. And Towns is headed in the right direction to be a solid defender, and that's going to make a big difference. And I don't think that gets talked about enough.
Yeah. And what's, I want to know your opinion too, because I remember watching the draft a couple of years ago and they picked Culver. I think they took him sixth.
Yep.
I think they took him sixth, and he was out of Houston.
Texas Tech. Yeah.
Texas Tech. Yeah. And I remember watching him because they were in the Final Four that year. And like, he was fun to watch, but I didn't know like what he was really like. What was he really good at? Like, what did he excel? It seemed like he was good at a lot of things, but didn't like excel in one spot.
Yep.
And I've read a lot of tweets. Like, I was reading tweets about him. I didn't watch the Wolves a ton, but I saw that it seemed like he was playing better. Or what's the deal with him?
Yeah. Early in the season, he had like a 20 point game in their first or second game of the season. Of course, they started 2-0. They beat Utah on the road. Utah was the one seed in the West this year. And Culver had a 20 point game. He had a couple of 10 rebound games. And was solid. He's been a solid defender since day one in the NBA. The problem is he doesn't have a jumper. He can't shoot. and he loses his confidence as soon as he starts missing shots, and then he's completely worthless on the offensive end of the floor, and then he becomes almost unplayable. And so this year, after that hot start, he regressed, then he got hurt, he missed the final couple months of the season. I still think he's got a little bit of trade value because he was the sixth overall pick just 2 years ago. He only played a couple years in college, so he's still young, but he's also got a $6.5 million salary because he was the sixth overall pick. And so I don't know how much. I still think it's positive trade value, but I don't think it's much. There's a real chance he's traded this offseason because it just takes one team to say, oh yeah, we'll take a flyer on him, we'll give you an expiring contract and a second rounder or whatever. I think the Wolves would do that. Josh Okogie's probably a little bit of a better defender, and he's a better all-around player at this moment, even if his ceiling's not as high, and they're a little bit redundant. So I don't have a lot of hope for Culver turning it around with the Wolves, but he may have some trade value. All right, before we close out the first part of the Locked On Minnesota Roundtable, let's talk about Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar of all time. It tastes exactly like a candy bar. If you're a protein bar person, you haven't tried Built Bar, I don't know what you're doing, because it tastes better than every protein bar you've ever had before, I promise you. There's 9 delicious flavors: coconut, coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate and salted caramel. There's something for everyone. You can even get a mix box. You'll get 2 of each of the 9 flavors. Again, they're fantastic. Most flavors have 17 grams of protein, but they only have 130 calories, just 4 grams of sugar and only 4 grams net carbs. You can go to BuiltBar.com right now. Use the promo code LOCK15. You'll get 15% off your first order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. All right, let's put a bow on part one of the Locked On Minnesota Roundtable and get back into our discussion regarding some, difficult player personnel decisions, roster decisions, contract situations for all three of these franchises.
Speaking of bigger contracts, Seth, a lot of talk about the Wild going after Jack Eichel. What needs to happen there?
Well, in order for that to happen, you're going to need to give up 2 of your top prospects. You're going to need to give up a ready player at the NHL level, and you're going to need to give up some draft picks as well. And yes, there have been some rumblings about whether or not Jack Eichel is a good clubhouse fit for whatever team he goes to. I don't know. The guy just got through a season in Buffalo, which they were out of it by the time we hit February. Like, they lost 19 games in a row, and if you're telling me that that doesn't have an impact on anybody, you're wrong. Winning cures a lot of things, and Buffalo did not win last year, so it's understandable that Eichel wants out. He's signed for, I think, the next 5 years, and it's something like $10 million per season. So it's an affordable contract, but at the same time, like, they have to make a big splash, the Wild do, because Joel Eriksson Ek profiles as a second-line center, and beyond that, they really don't have many on the roster currently right now. They've got Marco Rossi, who should be part of the future of this team starting next year if he can get back to where he was pre-COVID. But in order to get Eichel, you're going to have to part with him. You're probably going to have to part with Matt Boldy, or you're going to have to sweeten it. You're going to have to probably throw in Matt Dumba in order to make the salaries work. Maybe you have to throw in Kevin Fiala to make it work as well. The main point, he is worth the price, but the question becomes if Bill Guerin thinks it's too much and if some other team decides to throw in more to the point where then the Wild have to try to outbid somebody. At that point, I think they step out of it because, yes, he would be worth the price, and I'm of the belief that I think whatever the price is, you have to pay it. But if somebody outbids and somebody increases that price, that gets dicey.
The reason that it reminds me so much of the 2019 Twins is because this is the exact conversation that people were having that offseason about trading prospects. And it's different in baseball and hockey because, like, the team control is so big in baseball. And you see, like, blown-up trades all the time, like the Glasnow trade and all those things. But this was a conversation. It was like, okay, you have this team that has really good players, has a good core, like, is built to win now. You need to supplement. What length do you go to? You know, like, how do you find that middle ground? And I feel like that's such a question for the Wild right now. I think what happened for the Twins, you know, last they were good last year, but this summer especially, maybe finding out that that core is not as solid as you thought. And I think now that they realize and go back and think about that offseason, they're probably grateful they didn't trade more to supplement this core. Now they have Kirilloff and Larnach when they might have traded them, and they can like build around them for the next 6 years rather than, you know, trading for Noah Syndergaard or something like that. But that's the question that you have to ask yourself. And Ben, like, I don't even know, because we talk about these cycles, and like the Twins are in limbo right now in the middle of a season. We'll see how it ends up and like where they're at. I think they're in for a retool, hopefully not a rebuild. The Wild are clearly on the upswing and need some help to really like vault. But like, where are the Wolves in terms of just like the competitive cycle? Because you talk about expiring deals with Cat and with D'Lo, but then you have Anthony Edwards. It's like almost a little bit of both.
Yeah, and I said that leading to the draft last year, everybody would ask me with the number one pick, like, hey, why wouldn't they just, you know, like the Wolves were in a really weird spot last year going into the draft, and they're still in the same spot, which is they're not good, right? I mean, they were a lottery team again. But yet they're not rebuilding because they think they already have, I mean, they do have two max contracts on their roster. And so they can't be in an actual rebuild because you have Karl Anthony Towns, who was all NBA. He's a multi-time all-star. You have D'Angelo Russell, who's been an all-star, both on max contracts. So you're right. You're exactly right. They're in this weird limbo where they think they're better than they've been, but they have to prove it. And you know, what do you do next? They don't have the caps. They don't have any cap space. But yet they won, you know, they were, had the sixth worst record in the league last year. So I think, you know, like I said a minute ago, I think this is an above 500 team, but is that good enough? So say they finish seventh in the West next year. Well, now what? You're still capped out. You still have two max guys. So either Anthony Edwards has to take a leap or Towns has to take another leap and become like Devin Booker did this year for Phoenix and became a top 12 player, went from like being a top, you know, 30 player to a top 12 player. Towns would have to take that type of a leap, or Edwards would have to take a leap into the top 20, which is feasible. I mean, those things can happen, but we're talking about like, they better be right, you know, betting on these guys being their stars, or else they're headed right back into the same rebuild that we've seen three times since Kevin Garnett left the first time. So yeah, I mean, that's kind of where it's at. Nash, I'm going to turn around and ask you a quick question about the Twins, related to contracts. You were talking about contracts and what do you do with some of these contracts? What does your gut tell you about Byron Buxton? Obviously the injuries are insane, but like, I mean, what, one more year of team control, and there have been, you know, varying reports about contract discussions between him and the team. Is there any possibility he's traded? What does your gut tell you about what happens in the next 12 months with Buxton?
Well, I definitely think he's not getting traded now, right? Because he busted his panties out for a month. Right. But I think this is so tough. Like, it's probably the toughest thing for them, more than anything. Like, more than Burrios, who's also a free agent after next year, because he's, you know, he's durable and you kind of know what you have with him. He's still got a little bit of upside. He's a 5-year, $100 million player. But Buxton, there is no doubt, Ben, to me anymore. And Seth, you know this too. No doubt anymore that when he's healthy, he's up there with Acuna and Tatis. Like, honestly, he's up there. He's one of the best players in the world, no question about it, when he's on the field. He put it all together in April. Like, you saw just what he's capable of doing. We've been saying it for years. Like, if he can just give you 130 games out of 162, like, the things that he will do. Personally, like, it's not my money, but he's so electric. And I also understand the contract and what it'll do for you if he doesn't play and he hasn't played, and how that will cripple, that can cripple a team like the Twins that don't have a big payroll. They can't, you know, they can't always do that. But the upside that he brings, and I honestly don't know if he'll ever be healthy, man. Like, I don't know if he'll ever play 100 games again. I don't know if he'll ever do that. It's just, we haven't seen it. And he did it once in 2017, but he wasn't the same offensive player he is now. He's a true 5-tool player. Clearly their best player, one of the best players in the American League. So it's such a hard thing. And also, he's a guy who, you know, the city in a way has fallen in love with the last couple of years, certainly, but also like has been so frustrated because he's this top prospect and we expected so much from him. And like, you hear about him for years when the Twins were awful, and like, he's the savior with Miguel Sano. So he has that with the city, and he said he doesn't want to leave Minnesota. And you guys all know, when someone says they don't want to leave Minnesota, you don't want them to leave Minnesota.
Right.
That's right.
Like, making Cat happy with D'Lo, making Kuro happy with Eichel, like, those things are important. And when guys say they don't want to leave, you got like Diggs, you saw go, like, those things are important. And I mean, I love Byron Buxton. Like, you get attached to these players watching him every day. And I never want to see him play in a different uniform. but I also don't know if he'll ever be healthy. So how do you value that? You know, on the field, he's a $200 million player. And that's not just like the Twins fan in me saying that, legitimately a $200 million player. But when he's hurt all the time, Jackie Bradley Jr. signed for $24 million last year. That's what Buxton will get, you know, like 2 years, $24 million. When he's on the field, he's amazing, but you just don't know how much you're going to get of him. So how do you value that contract? And it's easy for us to say, just sign him. But what do you sign him for? And he's probably going to wait till free agency, see if he can stay healthy next year. But if I'm the Twins and if I'm Byron, like I go into this offseason and I think, okay, let's meet in the middle. Let's do like 5 years, 70, 75 million. Buxton gets security for his family. And him not knowing if he's going to stay healthy either. He gets that security. The Twins get some security, put some option years on there. He gets his guaranteed money. It's a risk for the Twins. It's a risk for Buxton because if he goes off and stays healthy, he's going to outplay that contract. But I think that's what they should do. And I don't know if Buxton will do that. I think he'll probably wait. But what if he you know, what if he has that next year? You know, what does he get in free agency? It's a tough spot. I would meet him in the middle because you guys see what he does. Like, he's the engine that makes the team rock.
Yeah, you know? 100%. Yeah.
What are your guys' thoughts on that?
That'll do it for part one of the Locked On Minnesota Roundtable. I guess a bit of a cliffhanger. I do try and give attempt to give a response, the equivalent to the Twins Byron Buxton situation for the Timberwolves, and it's certainly not apples to apples. But we'll lead off the show on Monday with that. Otherwise, that's all I have for the show today. Enjoy playoff basketball this weekend. Enjoy Eastern Conference Finals Game 2 tonight, and then obviously games from both conferences over the weekend. We'll talk about all that on Monday. We'll play part two of the roundtable and set you up for a great week as we continue to look ahead to the Wolves offseason. Have a fantastic weekend. A reminder, you can subscribe to the show anywhere you listen to podcasts. That goes for Locked On Wild, Locked On Twins, and all the other Locked On podcasts, Minnesota Locked On podcasts, especially anywhere you listen. That includes Apple, it includes iTunes, Spotify, and of course, or I should say Apple, Google, and Spotify, the all-new Odyssey app as well. You can also follow this show on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T, and yours truly at @bbeacon on Twitter. That's two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. A reminder that today's episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Enjoyment is not the end game. It is the whole game. At only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. That's all I have for you today. Have a fantastic weekend. My name is Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time. Today on the Locked On Today podcast, the Los Angeles Clippers are back in the game. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today show on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.